Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Anyway, everybody, so let's go to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles this morning, just get ready. We're going all over the place. Everybody say all over. But I want to start today with, you see this right here, and it's kind of cute, but there is a purpose to this today, okay? No pencils today. We've had pencils the last 2 weeks. This week, and this is not what you think it is. These are called bookends. Everybody say bookends. And what bookends are designed to do is to hold what you want in the middle so it doesn't fall apart. Right? We know this. This is a very simple thing. It has a very simple job. But what happens is, with bookends, if you take one bookend away, what's in the middle falls down. You really can't have the whole thing until you have the whole understanding of the bookends. Right? And how many know our lives is just like that? So many times as Christian, we want what's in the middle. That's exactly where I was going. Oreo cookies. They come out with something that's, you know, you have the regular, that's the outer court. Double stuff is the inner court. And I don't know if you know it, they have what's called a mega stuff. That's the Holy of Holies. And as you can tell, I have visited the Holy of Holies several times. But we want what's in the middle. We want where the good stuff at. I mean, the bookends kind of have a purpose. Say they have a purpose. Amen. But really what I'm after with my bookmarks is not the bookmarks. I'm after the knowledge of the books that's in between them. Amen. But without the bookmarks, the books don't stay where I need them to. And our life don't stay where it needs to unless we have the bookends. Amen. So now let me ask you a question. Which is more important, the bookends or the books? And I would tell you today, both. They're both equally as important. Because you can't have the books in order and like you need them unless you've got the bookends. And so goes our lives. And when it comes to the Bible, the Word of God, I think sometimes we want what's just kind of in the middle that we like. Come on now. And usually the stuff we like to get out of Genesis to maps. Come on. What we like to do with the bookends from Genesis to maps is get in between there and find what we like. And usually what we are after in the middle of this thing is the bless me, do good unto me, bring everything to me, bless me. We love that stuff. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, you know he's telling the truth. It's the bless me parts we like. But we're only going to have two main verses today. And I want to go ahead and tell you right now, we're going to do the bookends of the verses first, and then we're going to do the middle of these two verses. So the first verse we're going to read today, and it's going to be in the book of James chapter 4, so if you want to turn there, but I challenge you not to turn there, because I want you to read the bookends first. So we're going to read James chapter 4, verse 7, the first part of it. Then we're going to go to James chapter 8, the last part of that verse, and we're going to have the bookends. Amen? But we're going to have them last. We're going to go straight to what we want to hear, the middle. Amen? Everybody say amen. Amen. Real quickly, go ahead and put up James chapter 4, verse 7, what we call the B part. And it says, in the last part of James 4, 7, watch this now. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Woo, that's good. We all want that. All I got to do is just resist the devil and he's got to flee. Love it, love it. Give me, bless me with that, Lord. Somebody say amen. real quickly put up the definition of the word resist. Resist means to stand against, to resist, whether, now watch this, whether in deed or word. So I need to be able to resist the devil when he wants me to do something that goes against God's word. We all know that. But bless God, part of that definition, don't miss it. You need to shut your mouth. When the devil's telling you to say something or respond in a way that doesn't line up with the word of God. That's as much resisting the devil and he will flee. He needs to flee as much from the Christian's mouths as he does our actions. So don't lose sight of that. We need to resist him in action and word, the devil that is. We need to say yes to the action of God and yes to the action of the word of God coming out of our mouth. Woo! Some of y'all need to resist the devil a little bit. Now let's go to the other meat part, which will be James chapter 4, the next verse, verse 8. And to get the meat of it, we have to read the first part of it, right? So this is what you would call James 4, A. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Now, how many know those are two very powerful verses? Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Oh, yes, Lord, that's good stuff. If I take a step towards you, Lord, you just take 10 toward me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, I want the Lord near to me in all I do and say and think. And that's the church neighbor says, that's good. The word draw near in the Greek means this right here. It means to bring near, means to come near, to approach, to have to draw near, to be at hand, is near. Now watch this. It is referring to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So when we say we want to draw close to God, you got to draw close to all of God. So that means you're approaching him, you're drawing near to him, you're being near him, you're at hand with him. What's one of the verses he said? Behold, the kingdom of heaven is now at hand. In other words, it's right here among you. So to draw near to God means you're going to walk in the fullness of the kingdom of God in word and deed. Word and deed. Amen? That's the fluff. That's the fluff. Resist the devil and draw near to God. Love that. Yes, Lord. Everybody say, yeah. Yeah. I'll take some of that, Lord. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. Amen? But put up the next note. It's bookends time. And we're going to spend a lot of time on the first bookend. A lot of time and a lot of scriptures. Because all the scriptures that come under this, after I give you the verse, the only thing I'm going to be preaching is the Greek definition. Because the Greek definition, to get the full understanding of this, uses almost 20 verses of scripture to get you the full understanding. Because of the one word that's found in it. And it's a word that we wish would stay out here and not have to fool with it. But it's the meat. The bookend releases the meat. Can I have a better amen? So let's look at the bookend of James chapter 4, verse 7. The first part of that, before you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you, the Bible says, James 4, 7, submit to God. Uh-oh! Now, I want the devil to flee from me when I want him to. But in order for that to happen, I've got to put myself in submission to God to be able to have the power to resist the devil and him actually flee. I know people all the time try to resist the devil and he don't flee. They have a sense of them, they don't want to do this, but they end up doing it. Why? Because you're not submitted to God. Or you're not submitted to God fully. Come on now. So let's look at the word submit again from the original Greek language. It's the word hupotasso. Hupotasso. I spent about 3 days trying to learn how to pronounce this and I've got it. Or at least I got it the way my software tells me to say it. Hupotasso, it means to place in order, to place under in an orderly fashion. Not above, not beside, under. Everybody say under. To place under in an orderly fashion, not disorder. To be subjugated, which means to be subject. To place in submission. Oh, man, this is hurting y'all as bad as it hurting me. And then the last thing it means is the means to be obedient. To be obedient. I'm submitted and I'm obedient. And that's the prerequisite bookend to having the power to resist the devil and he flees from you. And so now we may have an understanding of why sometimes the Word of God don't work for some of us sometimes. Because I've walked this out myself. Devil, I've been rebuking in the name of Jesus. Well, I can't rebuke him when I ain't submitted to God in my life. I can try. But the authority's not there. The authority comes from God being submitted to him. And a lot of us even say, well, I really don't have no problem submitting to God. Well, let's see. Because here, this is all the definition now. This is not me just adding notes and preaching notes here. I may talk a little bit about it. But this, we are still in the Greek word, hypotasso, and this is what it means because it has several relationships to it. So the first thing it means in relation, now ladies, I love y'all. I absolutely love you. I've lived in all estrogen house all my life. All girls. I love you. But I'm going to preach the Bible. And the first thing it references under this word, hypotasso, is this word right here. It says, in relation of a wife to her husband. Hypotasso. And it gives the scriptures, it's the exact same word, hypotasso, every time. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, hypotasso with your own husband as to the Lord. Submit, be obedient, put yourself under. Good grief, preach on, brother. Colossians 3:18, wives, hypotasso your own husband as fitting unto the Lord. Josh, be careful, brother. She's not in here? Fire away, brother. You good. I love that man. He's awesome. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Wives, likewise be hypotasso, submissive to your own husbands, that even if some of them do not obey the word, they without a word. Ladies, did you hear that part? Ladies, without a word. Can I give you modern day translations? Ladies, without nagging. I told y'all I love y'all to start with. Sometimes I've seen what some, I got your hypotasso right here, buddy. I still love you. That even if some of your husbands don't obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. What conduct is he calling out? Hypotasso. Submissiveness. Now, ladies, let me tell you something. That doesn't mean you're to be abused. Doesn't mean you're a rug to be walked on. You are as equal to God as your husband is. But there is a line of authority here. And if you want a blessed life, you keep the line. And if you've got a husband that appreciates it, he welcomes you into that. I ain't got time to preach on marriage, but anyway, there's more. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For in this manner, talking about wives to husbands, in former times the holy women, who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being hypotasso to their own husbands. Being obedient, being submitted to place, they placed themselves under the leadership of a godly man. Godly man. Come on, ladies. Help a brother out there. I'm trying to help y'all now. A little salve on the wound right now, okay? And then, now this is the definition in the Greek. This is Greek. This is me. One more. Titus chapter 2, verse 5, that you are to be discreet and chaste, which means faithful. You're to be a good homemaker, a good obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Good grief. Did you know that Bible was verses in there, ladies? You are to be hypotasso to your own husband. Why? That the word of God is not blasphemed. Man, I could stop there and preach, but I got to move on. The next thing in the definition of the Greek word hypotasso is in relation of Jesus. Now, this is how it was written in there. I just copied and pasted all this. I would have written this different. But in the relation of Jesus as a child of 12 years of age to his parents. But it also gives reference to any child to their parents. Luke chapter 2, verse 51 through 55 says this. Then he, Jesus, went down to them and came to Nazareth and was subject, hypotasso, to them. He's talking about Mary and Joseph. He himself is Jesus. He went down, and Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, King Messiah, hypotassoed his parents. Why? So he could honor God and honor the word. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Now watch verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Why? Because he submitted himself. He got in biblical order, lived it while he was above it. Whew. Good grief. Don't keep going, Joey. You ain't got time. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. The word obey there, guess what it is? Hupotasso. Means to obey, be obedient. Colossians 3:20. Children, hupotasso your parents in all things, for this is well and pleasing to the Lord. In all things means all things that honor God. If your parents tell you go next door and kill the neighbor because they hit my mailbox, you don't go next door and kill the neighbor. You go call the cops. Amen. Then it goes on, still in the definition. I'm just preaching the definition. It talks about in the relation to the law of God. Everybody say the law of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is at enmity, which means hostile and hatred, it hates against God, for it is not hupotasso. Oh, look at that. The carnal mind, the flesh, the soulish realm sometimes, hates the word of God, and we will not submit to the word of God. We will not hupotasso the word of God, the laws of God in our life. Now watch this. For it is not hupotasso to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are not in the flesh cannot please God. Wow. I don't know if you put that last verse up there. It's supposed to be verse 8, but anyway, I left that out of their notes. But it finishes up, so then, those who are in the flesh, everybody say in the flesh. If you're in the flesh and you can't submit to God, you can't please God. Right. Touch your neighbor and say, duh. Real quickly, let's move on. It talks about this right here, and it goes into pretty good detail here. Now, well, listen to this. It says, next note, in the relation to government authorities. Ugh. Right. In relation to governmental authority. But I got a little bit of good news. The kingdom of God is a government on earth. Of his government there shall be no end. The kingdom is a government on earth. Not from the earth, but from heaven to earth. So this applies to the kingdom of God also. Romans 13:1. Let every soul, are you every soul today? Are you part of an every soul day? Let every soul be hupotasso to the governing authorities. Submitted, obedient, placing themselves under. For there is no authority except from God. And the authority that exists are appointed by God. Nowhere in that scripture does it say all authority will be godly. There has to be some ungodly authority that God allows, or there would have never been a crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He'll use anything and anybody to get his purpose and plan. And how many of you know revival usually breaks out under persecution? Because when we got it good, we fail to be thankful to God. But when we're being persecuted, all of a sudden the church doors fly open and everybody wants a piece of Jesus in. And then when we get our way, we put Jesus back and we go home again. Good preaching, amen, I'll help you. Look real quickly down four verses at Romans 13:5. Still talking about government. So you must submit to them, talking about governmental authority and kingdom authority, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. I can tell you how you don't get shot by the police. It's very simple. Don't point a gun at them. Don't come at them with a knife. You'll never get tased if you don't turn around and take off. If you will do what they tell you to do, you won't get shot, tased, or anything. Taken to the ground probably most of the time. Not even that. If you just do what they say. But no, we got to mouth off and be bossy and claim sovereign citizen and all this stuff. And I love to watch the videos because every one of them says, I'm not doing this and I'm not under arrest and you're not going to, bam, they're on the ground and they go to jail. I'm going, you idiot. What a dummy. What a dummy. But, I mean, that's the level of rebellion against authority we're hitting today. Just ask any of our police officers in here. By the way, the last one up here, the little feller, he's a SWAT team member. Don't let him knock on your door. If he knocks, answer. Say, how can I please you? You want some sweet tea? I got some, fix y'all some breakfast, whatever. Amen? Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. When you're not in obedience, you can't be ready for the good works of God. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. For the Lord's sake, hupotasso to all humans in authority. Governmental, school structure, police, church. It doesn't matter. If they've got authority over you, they have authority over you. And you got two paths, blessings or cursings. Amen? But for the Lord's sake, that sounds like a Southern wrote that. For the Lord's sake, honey, just do what they say do. Amen? I got to move real quickly. Now watch this. The next one's still in the definition. It says, in the relation of submitting oneself to a true prophet. Notice it says true prophet, not a false one. Now, let me preface this one because it's just one verse, and if you don't understand the context around it. In the church of Corinth, a lot of people were prophesying, and they were all trying to do it at the same time. Well, I've got a prophecy. Thus saith the Lord. Well, thus saith the Lord. And Paul was saying, listen, sit down and shut up except for one at a time. Bring a little order. You can only do it at one time. Whatever. Well, I'm in the Spirit. Well, I'm in the Spirit too. And he says this right here to him in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32. He says, the spirit of the prophets are subject, are hupotasso to the prophet. In other words, if somebody's already going, just because I've got a spiritual authority and I'm hearing God right now doesn't mean I step over somebody else's. Amen? That means I have authority over that spiritual realm in my life and know by God's spirit when to release it, and it will not cause division. Moving right along. And then it says, in relation to those ministering. This is anybody ministering. The fivefold, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Amen. The lay, whatever. Anybody that can, you guys, everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, everybody. Everybody that tries to minister. 1 Corinthians 16, 15 and 16 says this. You know that Stephanias and his household were the first of the harvest of believers in Greece. And watch this now. When they got saved, watch what they started doing. They're spending their lives. Everybody say their lives. In service to God's people. In other words, they're ministering to them. And Paul says, I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to submit, to put your, to hupotasso to them and others like them who serve with such devotion. Wow. I got just a couple of more. In relation to Christ by the church, it says. And then it gives us Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. It says, therefore, just as the church, everybody say the church. But I didn't think the church was relevant. It's just in the Bible. Therefore, just as the church is hupotasso to Christ, wives, here y'all go. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. But the first part is setting a standard for the church. As a church, we have to be in subject to Christ, who is our head. We've got to place ourselves under Christ. We've got to submit. We've got to be obedient to Christ. Can I have a better amen? Amen. In relationship to God, the Father of the spirits, by the believer. Again, that's a hard one. What this is meaning is when you speak as a spiritual authority, the other spirits have to listen and obey. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Since we respected our earthly fathers, and hopefully you have and did, who disciplined us, and I deserved every one I got, and I really didn't get enough, but anyway, shouldn't we, hupotasso, submit even more to the discipline of the fathers of our spirits, which means spiritual fathers, and live forever? Spiritual discipline leads you to eternal life. Submission is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. It's godly. It's not weakness. It's greatness. And then, of course, you know, this is not going to be on there, but submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The demons know when you've submitted to God. And if they know you're submitted to God, that's when they flee. You try to resist him and rebuke him, and they don't see submission walk in your life, they don't have to leave. And they don't. Real quickly, got a couple of more. Now, I like this one, too. In relation to the older by the younger. Likewise, you younger people, wave your hand at me. Some of y'all just lied. Likewise, you younger people, hupotasso yourselves to your elders. It's in the Bible. Hupotasso, submit yourselves to your elders. Now watch this. Yes, all of you be hupotasso, there's the word again, submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Man, what a powerful verse. But when you're not doing that verse, you have no authority. Wow. Last one. In relation to Christ by angels, comma, authority and powers. 1 Peter 3:22, talking about Jesus here. Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God? Angels and authority and powers, plural, have been made hupotasso to him. That's why Jesus declared on earth, all authority has been given to me. And now I give you all authority and I send you out in my name. Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples. We want authority, but we don't want to submit to authority. Can I get a better amen? All right, I got to move fast. Now that was just the first bookend. And all of that's just a definition. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Listen to me now. You need to study your Bible. It will bless you. Now, it will challenge you, but if you rise to the challenge, it will bless your socks off. Hallelujah. Now, all of this, next note, all of this has to do with being submitted to God. The bookend and just one word out of the bookend, submit to God. Y'all okay? Now let's go to the other bookend. Real quickly. James chapter 4, verse 8, B part. Because the first part says what? Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. But then it follows this up. Here's the bookend. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Lord, we want you to draw near to us. He says, well, then get clean. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And you won't do that without submitting to God. Clean and pure comes through submitting to God. You draw near to God, and then you get this. It's not that difficult, children of God. Real quickly, everybody say double-minded. Go ahead and put that up. The Greek word for double-minded, it means to be double-minded. Imagine that. It means to be doubtful, referring to a doubter or waver. It means they're tossed around to and fro, waved around with every doctrine. In a general sense, it is an unstable person. Anybody know anybody like that? Don't look at them. What's this now? Such a person suffers from divided loyalties. Everybody say divided loyalties. That's why the Bible says a house divided cannot stand. A marriage divided will not last. Kids and parents that get divided, it's all the work of Satan. And that's his job to come in and cause that. It's our job to submit and draw near to God, cleanse our hearts in the power of Jesus. Can I have a better amen? Such a person suffers from divided loyalties. Now watch this. On one hand, he wishes to maintain a religious confession and desires the presence of God in his life. And I know people like that. I've been one of these. This sermon's about me. And on the other hand, he loves the ways of the world and prefers to live according to its mores. The word mores there means customs and values. So I'd rather live to the customs and values of this word and their ethics than I do to stay right and humbled and submitted to God. That's what double-minded means. And I believe that a lot of Christians struggle with this double-mindedness. I know I have. Yes, I want God in the fullness of God, but Lord, the world can offer some fun. And I got a certain way I want to do things, and I got a certain way I want to see things, and I got a certain way I expect. But God, help, Lord. We got to choose, and we got to choose in every area, every day of our lives. And we're either choosing hupotasso or we're choosing to go against it. I hope you know this word before you get out of here today. Last note. You don't get what's in the middle without the bookends. If you want the middle of that Oreo, you got to have the two pieces to hold it together. But we want the middle so bad. We want to resist the devil and have him go out of our lives. We want to draw near to God and know he's in our lives and feel his touch and feel that goosebump and that glory bump. Oh, that's a fantastic thing to have. And I'm here to tell you, you can have as much of that as you want. But let me tell you how to get it. You could literally read this verse this way. Therefore, submit to God, clean up your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Then you'll be able to resist the devil and he'll flee from you, and you'll be positioned to draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's the way the verse works. It's just bookend. Are you with me today? Can you understand this today? This is yes. Don't just live for the middle. Live for everything God has for you. Because the middle is good when it's held up by the other word of God. It's awesome. Now, don't this look pretty when it's matched together? That's the way it's supposed to look. But if you pull this out, they're just decorative. They're no longer bookends because they're not doing design what they were supposed to do. And if you don't have these and you try to have books, you got a wreck. It takes the whole scriptures, the whole counsel of the word of God for it to be complete and look like God wants it to look like in your life. You can't leave out the middle. You can't leave out one end and not the other end. You got to have everything. That's why I love Genesis to maps. I love every bit of it. Does it challenge me? You better believe it does. It tells me to love some of y'all. Amen? It challenges you to love me. Bless your heart. But it's worth it. Touch your neighbor and say, it's worth it. So today, let me ask you, where do you want to land with this today? It's just like any other sermon. You're going to hear it, and it's going to go in one bookend. And I'm not trying to be mean, but if there's nothing in between it, it'll go right out the other side. There'll be no bookends in your life that'll hold it in because there's nothing in the middle. But if you got a brain today and you can process a thought, and I don't know, I may not have done the best job of presenting it today, but the Word of God can stand for itself. You got to put it in here, get it in the middle, and then seal it off with a book in and say, I'll take all of that, and I'll act accordingly to get every bit of it. Amen? Let's stand our feet this morning. Come on, guys. I'm sure God wants to do something with this message in your life, or he wouldn't have brought it in here today. I had this message prepared about 3 months ago. And I'm like, Lord, when's the timing to do it? And I was trying to search for a third part of pencils. But there's only so much you can do with a couple of pencils. And so I'm praying to the Lord last week. And he said, go get the bookends and bring them out. So I know this is a Kairos moment word. I don't know who all it's for, how it hits, but it's the word of God. So I'm just going to let it hit you where it needs to hit you. But what good does it do to hit you if you don't respond to it? Resist the devil. He will flee if you submit to God. And God is so wanting to draw near. And let me tell you something. You cannot clean yourself up. It says wash your hands. Yes, we have to do the wash. We have to do the submitting part. The washing of the water comes from him. But we got to be willing to get in the water and do this. He's already done his part. Today he's asking, will we do ours? And not just in a feel-good moment. Will we do it tomorrow morning at work? Will we do it when we come home? Will we do it when we're in town? Will we have a 24/7 lifestyle of Christ because we want a 24-hour God? So let's bow our heads right now. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, here's the way we do it. You may have come and said, I just came to watch a baptism today. I didn't know this is going to happen. This happens at every service we do. I don't care if I'm preaching on pencils or marriage or why the sky is blue. We're going to give you a chance to get what we call saved. born again. Because we will tell you this straight up. None of us were able to do it, and you're not able to do it. I have never been good enough on my best day to pay for any one of my sins. And when my sin's still active and held accountable to God to that, without me getting repentance and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, I will be going straight to hell. But I thank God I heard the word one day, and it finally got through my old thick skull, and I realized I'm going to hell. But if I profess Jesus with my mouth and believe in my heart and receive him and start living my life, and I haven't done it perfectly, but he's been the perfect God he said he would be. So if you're here this morning with no strings attached, listen, you're not going to join church today. We're not worried about that right now. You're not going to become a religious, a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic. You're just going to become a child of the Most High God. And then you're going to get in your Bible, and you're going to get a prayer life, and we'll help you all we can. And then God says he will plant you as he desires. He'll show you where to go to church, and you won't have to worry about being a certain denomination or religion. You'll just be part of the kingdom of heaven. If he sends you to the Baptist, find a good one. If he sends you over to the Pentecost, find a good one that's preaching the Bible. But our main concern today before you leave is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And if you don't, why not? You're never going to be smart enough. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be smart. But he is enough to meet you right where you're at. And you start a journey with God today to make a difference. And you say, Father, I repent from my sins and I just receive into my heart. If you want to do that today with no other strings attached, just lift your hand and say, today's my day. I want to surrender my life to Christ right here, right now. Anybody? All right, we don't drag it out here. Maybe if you're online, just drop us a note if that happened. We always want to send you a gift. Guys, how many would say today, the middle's the best part of my life sometime? But I understand today, to get to the stuff that I like, I need to be willing to go through the bookends. How many would say, the Lord, send it all to me today, your part and mine, and give me a tenacity. Give me a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit and power to begin to submit to God, to begin to submit everything about me, everywhere you've put me, God, to go and cleanse my hands every day, to purify my heart, and to get out of my double-mindedness, Lord. Come on, say this with me. Say, double-mindedness. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I am called by the word of God to have the mind of Christ. And I declare that over myself right now. My thoughts and everything I do come into kingdom alignment with the word of God. All for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give him praise in this house. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.